Okay, so just one time. Today is, what, January 20th, 2014. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Good morning. We didn't start yet. We were having a lot of trouble with the uvu. We've been having a lot of trouble today with the uvu. Wow, it's taken almost a half an hour. Okay, so let us start. So we are in lesson one. And now we come to further readings. Oh, I didn't finish. What didn't I finish?
Page 2 of regular reading number 4.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. So we're on page 2, and the reading is number 4. Okay, so this is the explanation of right effort. And then the word bhikkhu is the subject of each of these sentences. Okay, so you could repeat after me. Bhikkhu anupananang papakanang akusalanang dhammanang anupadaya chandang janeti vayamati viryang arabati chitang paganhati padahati. Okay, so this means a monk then in English we would go to Chandang Janeti, which means he generates desire. Ta Fayuan, I think. He generates desire. Then go to anupadaya, which means for not. Okay, so anupadaya, for the non-arising. And what case is this for non-arising? Right. It's a dative in the sense of purpose for non-arising. Then we take this whole series of words with starting with anupananang. So anupanna means unarisen. We're on page 2 and passage number 4. So anupanna is unarisen, and this is anupannanam. So what case is this? Case and number. Somebody want to tell me what case and number? Right. It's genitive plural. So it's of unarisen. Then we have papakanang. You see, these 1, 2, 3 words, anupananang, papakanang, akusalanang, these 3 words are adjectives describing the noun dhammanang. So dhammanang means here, you could say mental qualities or mental states. And then these mental states, dhammanang, are described as anupananang, unarisen. And then papakanang means bad or evil. Maybe evil is too strong. Let's say bad. And then akusalanang, almost the same thing, unwholesome. So the monk generates desire for the non-arising of unarisen, bad, unwholesome mental states. Then we could continue through with the remaining verbs or verbal compounds. So then we have vayamati, that's, he makes an effort. I think it's jin jing, right, in Chinese?
Jin jing.
Jin jing. He makes an effort. Then viryang arabati, he arouses energy. Then chitang paganhati. Paganhati here means, literally, it's stretches forth. Or we could say he applies the mind. And padahati is also like to make an effort, or we could say he strives. So you see, we have a series of verbs or verbal compounds: chandang janeti, vayamati, viryang arabati, chitang paganhati, padahati. And they all relate to anupananang, papakanang, akusalanang, dhammanang, anupadaya. For the purpose of non-arising, of unarisen, bad, unwholesome mental states. Okay, so this is the first right effort, or the first great effort. Then the second one is upanabiku, upananang, papakanang, akusalanang dhammanang, pahanaya, chandang janeti, vayamati, viryang arabati, chitang paganhati, padahati. Okay, so in this case, we would say the monk generates desire, makes an effort, arouses energy, applies his mind, and strives. Now we have pahanaya. Pahanaya means abandoning. And what case is this? What is the case? It's the dative. So in this case, it means for the abandoning. And for the abandoning of what? Of arisen, bad, unwholesome mental qualities. So the monk generates desire, makes an effort, arouses energy, applies his mind, and strives for the abandoning of arisen, bad, unwholesome mental qualities. Any questions about these two? Okay, now we come to the third right effort. So here we have anupananang, kusalanang tamanang, upadaya, chandang janeti, vayamati, viryangarabati, chitang paganhati, padahati. So again, the subject is the bhikkhu. So here the bhikkhu generates desire, makes an effort, arouses energy, applies the mind, and strives. And now we have the key noun is upadaya. So upadaya, again, it's dative. And in this case, it means for the arising. So he makes the effort for the arising of anupananang, unarisen, kusalanang, wholesome or good, dhammanang, mental qualities. So the monk generates desire, makes an effort, arouses energy, applies the mind, and strives for the arising of unarisen, wholesome mental qualities. And then we have the fourth right effort. Okay, bhikkhu, upananang, kusalanang tamanang, titya, asamosaya, bio bhavaya, vepulaya, bhavanaya, paripuriya, chandang janeti, vayamati, viryangarabati, chitang paganhati, padahati. So here we're going to have like a whole series of words in the dative. Okay, so we say that the monk generates desire, makes an effort, arouses energy, applies the mind, and strives. So now we go to first titya. Titti means something like stability or persistence. So this is for the persistence. Then the noun samosa means something like forgetting, or we could say decline, also decline. And so this is a negation, usamosaya. So it could mean for the non-decline. Then bio bhava means increasing, making more. And so this is, again, this is dative, so for the increase. Then vapula means expansion or maturation. Actually, vipula, better expansion. Like vipula is something which is wide, vast. And so vipula is the noun, expansion. So for the expansion. And bhavana is the development. And so this is dative for the development. And paripuri, that is a feminine. So the feminine singular, the feminine dative is paripuriya. So this means for fulfillment. And then we have the same series of verbs. So putting it all together, we have the bhikkhu, the monk, generates desire, makes an effort, arouses energy, applies the mind, and strives for the stabilization, for the non-decline, for the increase, for the expansion, for the development, for the fulfillment of arisen, wholesome qualities or mental states. So you see, it all fits together very organically, you might say. Yeah, one team. Any questions? You find it in the. This is actually quite a standard definition. So you find this in the Book of Fours. You find it in accounts of when analyzing the Noble Eightfold Path, when explaining what is meant by right effort. It occurs also in the Samyutta Nikaya. There's a little chapter on right effort. Okay, if there are no other questions, then we can go to the further readings. Okay, so now we start the further readings. This is on page 11. Okay, I'll read first. Then you repeat. When I pause, you repeat. Nahaṃ bhikkhave.
Nahaṃ bhikkhave.
Anyaṃ ekadhammampi.
Anyaṃ ekadhammampi.
Samanupassāmi.
Samanupassāmi.
Yo evaṃ.
Yo evaṃ.
Saddhammassa samosāya. Antara dhanaya sangvatati yatai dang bhikkhave pamado pamado bhikkhave saddhammassa samosaya antara dhanaya sangvatati. Anybody want to try this?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Oh, bhikkhus, I do not see one single thing that leads to confusion and disappearance of true dhamma as sloth or monks. Sloth leads to confusion and disappearance of true dhamma.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Okay, so we start off with nahung.
And
yeah, and this word nahung, what does it mean? Yeah, it's what they call in Pali sandhi. It's joining the na and ahung. And so instead of, you know, when you're speaking at a normal pace, instead of saying na ahung, so you just join the two ways, say nahung. So it's not, so taking it word for word, it's not I, O monks, and anyang is another, eka is one, together with dhamma, so it's one thing. And then the P gives a sense of even one thing. And samanupassami is the verb, so this is first person present. So samanupassami means I see, I perceive. Then yo means which, then avang is thus, in such a way. Like in Chinese this is rusha. And sad dhamma is the good dhamma or the true dhamma. Then samosa, as I said, can mean decline or confusion. Antaradana means disappearance. And these, what are the cases of these two words?
Dative.
Right, these are dative, singular masculine dative. So two, in this case, to the confusion, to the disappearance. And the verb here is sangvatati, leads to. Then yatai dung is also created through sandhi. It's yata, which means as, plus idung is this. And yata has a long A at the end, but because it's joining with idung, the long A becomes short and the Y comes in. Again, this is to make it easy to pronounce, to speak. Okay, so as this, O monks, And then comes the mention of what that one Dhamma is, which is pamado. I think pamado is nominative here because it's sort of linking up with the verb sangvatati. Okay, so, O monks, I do not perceive even one other thing which so leads to the confusion, to the disappearance of the good Dharma as this, O monks. Pamada means, you could say, sloth or heedlessness or negligence. This is, I think, the Chinese fangi. Fangi. And then the Buddha completes it with a positive statement that here with pamado as the initial subject. So heedfulness, O monks, then you have to go down to sangvatati, the verb. Heedfulness, O monks, leads then to samosaya, to the confusion, and antaradhanaya, to the disappearance, saddhamasa, of the good or the true Dhamma. Okay, then, any questions about this? Okay, now we take the next sentence.
Bhante, could I ask you one thing?
Yeah. Please, go ahead.
Sadamasa, is that genitive?
I think this machine is making quite a lot of noise. Do we need... this is a heater? Maybe it's the rotating thing that is making the noise rather than the heating part. The heater is still on? Okay, I think maybe we don't need it. Okay, please ask the question again.
I was just asking if sadamasa is genitive, right? Genitive singular?
Yeah, it's genitive singular.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's take now the counterpart statement. Okay, nahang bhikkhave.
Nahang bhikkhave.
Anyang ekadamampi.
Anyang ekadamampi.
Samanupasami.
Samanupasami.
Yo evang.
Yo evang.
Saddhammasa titiya.
Saddhammasa titiya.
Usamosaya.
Asamosaya.
Anantaradhanaya.
Anantaradhanaya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Appamado.
Appamado.
Appamado bhikkhave.
Appamado bhikkhave.
Saddhammasa titiya.
Saddhammasa titiya.
Asamosaya.
Asamosaya.
Anantaradhanaya.
Anantaradhanaya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Anybody want to try this? It's very challenging. Okay, Stephen?
Not I, O monk, perceive another single thing that thus leads to the arising of clarity and non-disappearance.
Yeah, let's keep it very close to the Pali. So if there's a negative term here, let's render it by a negative. Unless, did they give a...
No.
The asamosaya?
The non-confusion?
Yeah.
And the non-disappearance?
Yeah.
Oh, I wrote the true doctrine. Is that okay?
Either way, yeah, anyway.
Namely, O monks, diligent.
Yeah.
It's strange that the negating word is the positive trait.
Excuse me?
That the negation word, the word, is the positive trait.
Yeah, I know. But often that's done in Pali.
Right. So diligence, oh monks, leads to the non-confusion and non-disappearance of the true doctrine.
Not only that, there's another word in there. Sadamasa tithiya. Look closely. We have Saddhamassa Tithiya Asamosaya Anantaradhanaya.
Well, the continuation.
Right, right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so here we have Tithiya, the stability or persistence, continuation. Okay, so this statement is really just the converse of the previous one. Does anybody need a word-for-word explanation? So we just go on to the next statement. So, nahang bhikkhave,
nahang bhikkhave,
anyang ekadamampi,
anyang ekadamampi,
samanupassami,
samanupassami,
yo evang, sadamassa samosaya,
sadamassa samosaya,
antaradhanaya,
Sangvatati
Yadi Yatai Dang Bhikkhave
Kosajjang
Kosajjang Bhikkhave
Kosajjang Bhikkhave
Saddhammassa
Samosaya
Antaradhanaya Sangvatati. Anybody want to try this? Okay.
I do not see, O monks, even one other thing which leads to confusion and the disappearance of true doctrine as this, O monks, idleness. Idleness, O monks, leads to confusion and the disappearance of true doctrine.
Okay, very good. Again, so this statement is modeled after the first one. The only difference is that instead of pamado, we have kosajjang. They're almost very similar in meaning. Pamado is, say, heedlessness, carelessness, and kosajja is idleness or laziness. Okay, then the converse statement. Nahang bhikkhave.
Nahang bhikkhave.
Oh. The uvu just got lost. What's so funny?
We're talking about the non-persistence of Uruba.
So, yeah, the router is
unbuttoned.
Okay, everybody back on?
Yes, Bhante. Bhante, I have a question.
Yeah.
Could you, well, actually it's a request. Could you please repeat, when people give the translation, could you repeat it? Because I can't hear.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. I should have done that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so the one with kosajja, it's actually it's really the same as the first one. So, O monks, I do not perceive or see even one other thing which so leads to the decline or confusion and disappearance of the good doctrine or the good dharma as this, O monks, idleness. Idleness, O monks, leads to the confusion and disappearance of the good dharma. Okay, so now we come to the next statement. Did I read the Pali for this yet?
Not yet,
okay. Of course, they all look so similar. Nahang bhikkhave.
Nahang bhikkhave.
Anyang ekadhammampi.
Anyang ekadhammampi.
Samanupasami.
Samanupasami.
Yo evang saddham massa titiya.
Yo evang saddham massa titiya.
Asamosaya.
Asamosaya.
Anantara dhanaya.
Anantara dhanaya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Viryarambo.
Viryarambo.
Viryarambo bhikkhave.
Viryarambo bhikkhave.
Sadamasa titiya.
Sadamasa titiya.
Asamosaya.
Asamosaya.
Anantara dhanaya.
Anantara dhanaya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Hey, any volunteers for this? Excuse me? Did Venerable Hu bow? Did I hear you volunteer?
No, I don't mind. Other one thing, even I perceive in this way, lead of application of this system to the disappear. To confusion of good dharma. So
yatai dang.
Like that.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhu.
Yeah.
Application of existence led.
Wait, viryarambo.
Yeah, it's an application of
existence. Let's see what they put. Well, virya is energy or effort.
Effort.
And arambha, let's see if they give.
Application.
I would say arousing of energy.
Arousing.
Okay, so viryarambo bhikkhave.
Okay, so arousing of energy.
Yeah.
Let the.
Then to titiya.
And disappear.
First titiya.
Yeah. Titiya. Stability.
We could say, stability.
Stability.
Yeah.
And disappear.
First asamosaya.
Yeah. None disappear, none confusion of them.
Yeah, asamosaya is non confusion. And anantaradana means non disappearance. Okay, so putting it all together, we would say, O monks, I do not see or do not perceive even one other thing which so leads to the stability or persistence or continuation, non confusion and non-disappearance of the good Dharma as this, O monks, the arousing of energy. The arousing of energy, O monks, leads to the persistence or continuation, the non-confusion and non-disappearance of the good Dharma. And then the last in this section, Nahang Bhikkhave,
Nahang Bhikkhave,
Anyang Ekadamam Pi Samanupasami,
Anyang Ekadamam Pi Samanupasami,
Yo Evang,
Yo Evang,
Sadamasa Titya,
Sadamasa Titya,
Usamosaya Anantaradhanaya, Sangvatati, Yatai Dang Bhikkhave, Anu Yogo Kusalanang Tamanang, An Anu Yogo Akusalanang Tamanang. Anu Yogo Bhikkhave,
Anu Yogo Bhikkhave,
Kusalanang Dhammanang,
Kusalanang Dhammanang,
Sadamasa Titya,
Sadamasa Titya,
Usamosaya Anantaradhanaya,
Usamosaya
Anantaradhanaya, Sangvatati,
Sangvatati.
Okay, anybody like to try that?
Yes, Monday.
Okay, this is Venerable Satchinanda. You try it.
Yes. Oh, monks, I do not see even one other thing which does lead to the continuations, non-confusion, and non-disappearance of the good Dharma. As this, O monk, the application of wholesome qualities and non-application to unwholesome qualities. Application of monks to wholesome qualities leads to the continuation, non-confusion, and non-disappearance of the good Dharma.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so I'll just repeat it so everybody can hear. So, I do not see, or I do not perceive, O monks, even one other thing which so leads to the, what do you say, the continuation, non-confusion and non-disappearance of the good Dharma as this, O monks, application to wholesome dharmas or wholesome qualities and non-application to unwholesome qualities. Application to wholesome qualities, O monks, leads to the continuation, non-confusion, and non-disappearance of the good Dharma. So, here we have the word anuyogo, which is, of course, it's related to the word yoga, which is used in Buddhism too. So it doesn't mean, you know, these physical exercises of stretching and bending. But the original meaning of yoga is something like exertion or effort. And so anuyoga gives a sense of exertion or effort devoted to something. So it's exertion devoted, in this case, to wholesome qualities, to the development of wholesome qualities. Any questions about this?
I'll ask a meaning question.
A what?
Meaning, about meaning.
Yeah, okay.
About pomado and the kosaja.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference? One is heedlessness and one is
idleness. They're very close, but maybe, say, heedlessness means lack. It implies more of like a lack of, I would say, moral discernment, moral scrupulousness, a sort of indulgence in, well, especially sensual pleasures, but just indulgence in worldly enjoyments. So somebody who's heedless can have a lot of energy, but they just devote the energy to the wrong thing. Whereas kosaja is more like idleness, laziness, you know, like a person who doesn't want to make any effort.
Whereas,
yeah, pomado can imply, you know, there's energy or making an effort, but making an effort with regard to the wrong things.
Diligence,
it's been used as a rendering, but its diligence is okay. Now I prefer heedfulness because it implies more that moral discernment and scrupulousness.
How are R's pronounced in Sinhala or in Pali, the letter R? Is there any role or movement with the letter R? When you say like well, we had Rambo, so Virya Rambo. Is there any?
Probably somebody with a good Indian pronunciation would have more of a role in their R than I do, since my tongue has been corrupted by an American. Maybe Venerable Subodha, you could pronounce Virya Rambo.
Yeah.
No, say
Rambo.
It. Say it.
Virya Rambo.
Okay.
Is there the rolling R more distinct?
Yes. Thank you.
I remember when I was first in Sri Lanka, the early years, people would ask, sometimes they come up and say, what is your country? Then I would say, America. They would say, Morocco? So I learned that I have to say, America. Yeah.
Appamado, in Sinhala we have pramada.
Yeah.
But that means kind of you are delayed. You are not there right on time. Is it same as appamado?
I'm sure that it's developed out of, well, it's developed out of the Pali word pramada, or the Sanskrit form is pramada. But I think it's taken on a particular nuance in modern Sinhala, which is somewhat different from that in the original text. So it's not so much being delayed, but more like carelessly, recklessly indulging in unwholesome enjoyments. But what happens, I guess, is that when somebody indulges in unwholesome enjoyments, then they miss appointments, and so they get delayed.
No, what I mean is, it's more like the exact opposite of diligence.
Anyway, we should understand it within the original context. Okay, for the next series, did Aya Santosika? Did you have a question?
I did, Monday, thank you. I was wondering about the form of anuyoga is probably nominative, I'm guessing, and kusalanam and dhammanam, it seems like it seemed like you, the translation we were using to say two wholesome qualities would mean dative, but if you take it as the genitive, it feels a little more natural, but maybe that's not correct to me. To say leads to the, you know, the application or, you know, of qualities.
Okay.
Would that also be
acceptable? Yeah, you see what happens in Pali, apart from the use of genitive to indicate possession, the dividing line between genitive and dative becomes somewhat blurry. So when we translate into English, sometimes you could translate either using the English... We lost somebody. We could translate using either the English equivalent of the genitive of, or the English equivalent of the dative to. So we could say either, in this case, you could say either the application to wholesome dhammas, or devotion to wholesome dhammas, or you could say the application of wholesome dhammas. You know, both will work in English. Is that okay? Is everybody here on Uvu? Ayasantusika?
Yes.
Yeah, because I saw her image froze. Okay. Did you catch the last point that I made? Oh, what I said is that...
Sorry,
yeah, I saw you froze. In English, we could translate using either... Let's see. The application to wholesome dhammas, or that would be like a dative form, or the application of wholesome dhammas, that would be a genitive form. So sometimes, you know, the borderline between dative and genitive gets a little blurry. Okay, let's continue with the next. Okay, so now we're in section two. So, Nahang Bhikkhave. Anyang ekarupampi.
Anyang ekarupampi.
Samanupasami.
Samanupasami.
Yam evang.
Yam evang.
Purisasa chitang.
Purisasa chitang.
Pariyadaya titati.
Pariyadaya titati.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Iti rupang.
Iti rupang.
Iti rupang bhikkhave.
Iti rupang bhikkhave.
Purisasa chitang.
Purisasa chitang.
Pariyadaya titati.
Pariyadaya titati.
Anybody want to try this? Okay, Venerable Sagarananda.
I do not see your mind. Than one other matter or material that does exist, having overpowered a man's mind, that is to say, O monks, female's beauty. Female beauty, O monks, exists, having overpowered a man's mind.
Yeah, except here, mm-hmm. You see, here we have the word ekarupang and itirupang. And then we're going to have, you know, the continuation with eka sadang, one sound, and eka gandang, one odor, eka rasang, one flavor, and so on. So it's actually going through the different sense objects. So here, the rupa can sometimes mean like matter or physical form, but here it actually means visible form. So the sense would then be, I do not see or I do not perceive, O monks, even one other visible form which so, how do they put it, overcomes the mind of a man as this, O monks, the form of a woman, that is, the visible form. And then, the visible form of a woman, O monks, I'll explain this construction, stands having overpowered the mind of a man. Okay, so here first we have of interest a compound. This is a numerical compound, ekarupang, one form. And then at the end of the sentence, we have another compound. This is iti rupang. This is the form of a woman. Technically, this kind of compound, and you're going to be meeting a lot of it in Pali, is called a tapurisa compound. This is a compound of one noun, often in an indirect case, joined to another noun. Like to give you some examples in English, we have tapurisa compounds in English. Let's say, tabletop, that means top of the table. So here we have the word table is like a implicit genitive of the table, and then the noun top. Let's say, eyeballs, those would be the balls of the eyes, right? So here we have, also this would be like implied genitive, the balls of the eyes. But how about eyeglass? What? Right. These are glasses for the eyes. How about what is that?
Eyesore.
Yeah.
Eyesore.
I'm thinking of a bookcase, but I want to get okay, you say a bookshelf, so that's a shelf for books. a book cell, the cell of books. I'm trying to get a locative one. Oh, well, we say bookshop.
Bookshop, yeah. Bookshop.
But that's a shop of books, or shop. I'm trying to get a locative.
Kitchen sink. No, that's two words.
Kitchen. Yeah, actually, that could be a sink in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, kitchen sink. Okay, so here we have iti rupa, so this is the form of a woman. Okay, now, okay, the other thing of interest in this sentence is this expression pariyadaya titati. This is a case where pariyadaya, what kind of word is that?
Absolutive.
What is it?
Absolutive.
Right. It's the absolutive, also called the gerund. So this is a construction where we have the absolutive followed by a finite verb, in this case, titati, which means stands or continues. So the sense is here that the form of a woman, having overcome the mind of a man, persists there. You know, it takes over the mind of a man and it goes on continuing there. It's pretty strong, but you could say it, but it's a bit strong.
It didn't seem strong enough.
Overcome doesn't seem strong enough. Yeah, this comes at the beginning of the Anguttara Nikaya. It's actually the first series of suttas in the Anguttara. Then what I did when I translated, I just used one verb to get the sense of pariyadaya titati. I used obsesses. Because it captures the sense of both overcoming and continuing on. Okay, I don't really think we have to go through, you know, reading each of the next sentences unless you want to, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the next four are exactly the same in construction. The only thing that differs is, okay, we have eka sadang, which is one sound, and that would be the sound of a woman, the voice, the sweet, lovely, enchanting voice of a woman. Eka gandang, the scent of a woman. Eka rasang, the taste of a woman. And eka potabang. Potabang, the touch of a woman. Okay, and then this is balanced out by the next series. So just to be gender neutral, we'll at least take the first sentence within this series. Okay, nahang bhikkhave.
Nahang bhikkhave.
Ekadamampi samanupasami. Oh, did I say ekadamam?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ekarupampi samanupasami.
Ekarupampi samanupasami.
yam evang ittiya chitang pariyadaya titati yatai dang bhikave purisa rupang purisa rupang bhikave ittiya chitang pariyadaya titati. Anybody want to try this? Okay. I want to turn up the volume is actually low here. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Oh, monks, I do not perceive even one other form which overcomes the mind of a woman as this, oh, monks. The form of a male?
Of a man.
Of a man. the form of a man, O monks, overcome the mind of a woman.
Okay. Well, to be more literal, we would say, the form of a man, O monks, having overcome the mind of a woman, continues?
Persists, yes.
Will persist. Okay, so the structure is exactly the same as the previous one, except just the genders are different. Okay, then the next series of statements, again, they're exactly the same in structure. The only word that's different is the sense object. Sound, scent, taste, and touch. Any questions? Okay, Suki?
The book explained, but I want to make sure that I understand. It's the relative pronoun, yo, and the use of yo and yang, and both of here and here.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same situation.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they are interchangeable. I mean, instead of you, I can kind of use yang there.
Let's see, where do you see yo?
I mean, now I'm number one.
Okay.
Number one is all yo, and number two is all yang.
Okay, I could tell you why there's a difference. In number one, yo, the relative pronoun is joined with pomado. And since pomado is masculine singular, in this case nominative, masculine nominative, so the pronoun that's used would be yo. It's a little odd that yatai dung, idung is neuter, but I think that's because the sense is that, to put it in English, the sense is as this, not saying this heedlessness, but simply this as an indefinite object. And then that's referring to pomado. But yo goes with pomado, and because yo has to match the gender and case of pomado, and so yo is masculine singular. But in number two, oh, but this is funny. Nahang bhikkhave yanyang ekadam ampi samanupassami yo evang. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry, I have to scrap back that explanation. I think the sense is, or the reason for yo, is that yo has to match engender, though not in case, dhammang. And dhammang, okay, this is, your question actually brings up a very important point. Okay, so look, na hung bhikkhave anyang ekadhammam pi samanupassami. So I do not perceive, O monks, even one other dhamma. Okay, now the word dhamma here is the object of samanupassami. So dhamma is in the accusative, dhammang. But the noun dhamma is a masculine noun. And so yo, now is the subject of the clause evang sadamasa samosaya antaradhanaya sangvatati. So yo is the subject of that clause, but yo here stands in for dhamma, because what leads to the decline and disappearance of the good dhamma is a particular dhamma or state or quality. So the yo actually means yo dhammo. Yo dhammo evang sadhammasa samosaya antaradhanaya sangvatati. I do not see, O monks, even one other dhamma. Which dhamma thus leads to the decline and disappearance of the true teaching, or the good teaching? Do you see that point? And so yo is used, the masculine singular, because it's going with dhamma. Even though in the first clause, dhamma, we have ekadhammang, that's accusative, because it's the object of samanupassami. But in yo, evang sadhammasa samosaya antaradhanaya sangvatati, yo dhammo then becomes the subject. Which dhamma leads to the decline and disappearance of the good teaching? But now in number two, and that's why what made me realize this is in the third statement of number one, we have the subject here is kosajang, which is neuter, accusative, yet we still have yo. So I realize that yo can't be referring to kosajang, but yo must be referring to dhammo. But now in number two, we have ekarupang, one form, any particular form. And rupang is neuter. And so here, ekarupang pi samanupassami, so one form, one other form. Form is here neuter accusative, and so it's rupang. But rupang, even when it's nominative, because it's neuter, it's also when rupang is nominative, it still takes the form rupang. And so when it's represented by a relative pronoun, it would be by yang, which is the nominative neuter pronoun, nominative neuter singular pronoun. So that's why we have yang evang purisasa chitang pariyadaya titati. So yang is nominative neuter, nominative neuter singular. So it's the subject but because it's nominative, because it's neuter, so it takes the form young rather than yo, which would be masculine. But as if to screw up my explanation. If you look on the top of page 12, there's, after young, there's a footnote number. Mm-hmm. And then the footnote number 5 says that, note that although the relative pronoun generally takes the case proper to its function in its own clause, as stated in this grammar section, it is sometimes attracted to the case of the noun to which it refers in the main clause. Thus here, young is accusative, agreeing with the accusative masculine noun sadang, although it is subject of its own clause and therefore should be nominative. So if it were obeying the precise laws of grammar, it should be yo, because the noun saddo is, well, let's say the noun sadda in masculine, sadda as a nominative, sadda is a masculine noun, and so the nominative will be saddo. But just, it seems to be, maybe it was just some convention of speech that it turned into young. Wait, I just want to check something. I just want to see whether there are any variant reading. No, it seems that they all have the same reading. Somebody had a question?
So, I'm just curious. So, ikarupam and 1, 2, 3, 4. The fourth one down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 5, 6 one down, because rupam is masculine. It too.
Wait, which page?
I'm on page 12, fifth paragraph down. It says, namam ikabe anyam ikarupam.
Potabang, yeah.
I'm looking down further than potabang.
Yeah.
So, that one too, ikarupam, or ikarupam is masculine, rupam being masculine. Did we not say Rupam was masculine on the other page?
No, Potabang will be neuter.
I'm sorry, one below Potabang. So I'm looking, and it says Saddam is masculine, and so if it were being true to its technical nature, Saddam would be a yo. And I'm looking at 5 down, not Ekapadam Potabang, but Ekarupam. Is also Rupam is also masculine, is it not?
No, Rupang is neuter.
So Saddam is masculine.
Yeah.
And then Ikaputabam is. I guess looking at all of these to which it refers, are they mostly neuter? And is only Saddam, is that the only masculine one, Saddam?
Gundo, I think, is masculine. You find
Gundo,
these.
Gundo is a masculine?
I think so.
Yes.
Look in the, you could find from the glossary, when they're listing masculine nouns, they'll list them in the nominative case. So they'll list them as ending in O.
Okay.
When they're listing neuter nouns, they'll list them as ending in the ung, in a ung.
Okay.
So you could see Gundo.
So
Russo is saddo, sound, gundo, odor, russo, taste, are masculine. but rupang, that's form, and potabang are neuter.
So then this is similar to English or whatever, where we have prepositions that we simply have to memorize, and you know, they only make sense when he says attracted to. To her point, yo yam.
Yeah.
There's some incongruency with the grammar rules there, and it's just a native feel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I wanted to just get a little head start, because next time we're going to start doing the grammar. So you don't have, like, homework next time. Though I still think, you know, for your own benefit, good to at least, well, they have quite a lot of reading material. And a lot, you see why I wanted to start with the Lily de Silva book. Because they have a lot of vocabulary words. And then a lot of grammatical explanation. But good for yourself to at least try to tackle the reading passages at the beginning, though I will go through them. First, I'll explain, go over the grammar. And you'll see as we go in, first I'll go through the grammar, then it might take me all next week's lesson to go through the grammar. But once I finish the grammar, then I will go through the reading, the initial reading passages, and explain it and analyze them grammatically. And then you just put, you know, the homework that I call on you, or at least ask for you to volunteer, that's the further readings. But it's good to try to work out as best you can the readings at the beginning of the lesson. So you'll see that in the grammar, a lot of this is going to be recapitulating the material that we covered in the Pali primer. So here we have feminine nouns ending with the long A, then the masculine nouns in the short U, neuter nouns in U. Then we come to the third person pronoun forms. This I went through very quickly at breakneck speed in the Lady Silva. So now we can take this at a more stately, at a slower pace. So we have the third person pronouns. And what should be mentioned is that the pronoun could function either as a noun in its own right, or it can qualify another noun. For example, we can have the word so can mean he, or, for example, you can have so puriso, in this case, that man. Or you could have sa, where it's just a feminine pronoun, where it's understood that it's referring to a woman. Or you could be saying sa iti, that woman. Or sa kumarika, that girl. And so there's a lot of pronouns. I feel like you guys are going to be launching a rebellion next week. But little by little, we get through it.
Okay, I'm sorry. What verb form did you say when, in the vocabulary list, you said the O is the nominative and it's showing the masculine word? And what is the verb form?
No, not a verb. It's the noun.
Yeah.
The masculine noun, in their glossaries, they indicate when the noun is ending in the short A, So to distinguish, because both masculine and neuter end in the short A in the stem form, so to show that it's a masculine, then they will list the noun ending in O, and to show that it's a neuter noun, they will end it in ung, the M with the A, with the M with the dot under it.
How about the feminine noun?
Well, the feminine nouns have their own distinctive ending, so that will list them, you know, just in the stem form. So, for example, let us see. I think they... For example, on page 16, okay, the noun upasampada at the top, that's a feminine, you can see very clearly that it's a feminine feminine noun because it ends in the long A, upasampada, and then towards the bottom of page 16, panya, meaning wisdom or insight, ends in the long A. There can be some uncertainty, I guess, if a noun ends in the short I, which can be either masculine or feminine, but they must have some way to.
So on page 15, I was looking for an I word, but when it says acto and then parentheses afang, and then the word meaning usage, use, welfare, gain, purpose, it has then a masculine as well as a neuter.
I think that's because sometimes nouns can take on either function either as masculine or as neuter. Now, when we get to feminine nouns and I, we'll see how they treat them. Page 18. Yeah, that's the noun in the long A ending. But I'm looking for the short I, something like jati. I see it in the glossary and it doesn't distinguish whether it's masculine or feminine. But how about in their other glossary?
是差别的，对吧？是吧？它不是导致它在 declination 的。
Yeah, it seems that they're not indicating whether the noun is masculine or feminine. Those that are ending in the short I. They must, I'll have to take another look to see, they must have some way of indicating that. Otherwise, you just have to use, or I have to use the dictionary and then tell you.
Is Jati feminine?
I think it's feminine.
Yeah, so in the long A, that's us, is the Jati the long A there? J?
No, no.
Oh, short A.
These are nouns that are ending in I, short I.
The preceding A, is that a long A or short A?
It's a long A, but that doesn't determine the gender of. It's the last letter that will usually determine the gender.
So
but the short I can be either masculine or feminine. One has to know on a case by case basis.
Okay. I've just been wondering if the long A right before the ending would influence it.
No, no. There's a note about this method of denoting nouns on page 4, continuing on to page 5. One just has to look at that carefully. They say that nouns ending in O, Ung, and I in the glossaries will belong to the masculine A stem, the neuter A stem, and the feminine I stem classes, respectively. But there are nouns that end in short I which are masculine, like Muni, meaning sage, Kavi, meaning poet, Kapi, meaning monkey.
Something on page 113 where it introduces the masculine nouns ending in I.
Yeah.
It says that they'll be listed in their nominative singular form, but with the notation masculine to distinguish them from the feminine I stems.
Okay. Okay, that's useful. Okay, so if the point is that if a noun ending in a short I is masculine, then they say that they will indicate this in the glossary. So if there's no indication of the case, if there's no indication of the gender with the noun with the short I, then one assumes that it's feminine.
It's in the grammar on number 8. At the beginning of the grammar of number 8 in my book, it's page 113.
Yeah, I see it. Okay, I think we end the class for today. Okay, so we have the Buddha images from the front. Okay, so we bow three times. One, two, three. Okay.
Thank you, Bante.
Okay.
Thank you, Bante.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.